So we're going to go back to the Beatitudes, which we began studying a couple of weeks ago, and to Beatitude number 3, which is there. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. So the Beatitudes are a series of 8 sayings of Jesus, which stand at the beginning of a section of teaching in Matthew's Gospel called the Sermon on the Mount, from chapter 5 to 7 of Matthew. And the Beatitudes contains 8 kind of laws of the kingdom of God, the way things work under God's rule. And they're all very different to the way things work under man's rule. And so the Beatitudes are shocking sometimes, they're surprising, and they're challenging. They are, as I said at the beginning of the series, countercultural. They're not the way the world works, but they are the way that God works. So this is what we're looking at today. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. So I'm going to ask 3 questions this morning. I'm going to ask, what is it like to be meek? Yeah, what does this word meek mean? I'm going to ask, what do the meek inherit, and who do they inherit it from? But the first question I'm going to spend most time on, what is it like to be meek? Are you a meek person? Do you want to be a meek person? Does the word meek sound a positive thing or a negative thing? I think often it's viewed negatively. I think often people think of those who are meek as being those who are weak. They are like doormats to everyone else. They are pushovers, and they are easily made to get out of the way so that other people can get what they want. But that is definitely not what Jesus is talking about. And maybe that the word meek has changed its meaning, and maybe particularly in recent years, because words change their meaning all the time. Because in Jesus' understanding of this word, it's a strength. It's a positive. Now, some translations say blessed are the humble, and some blessed are the gentle, because the word can be translated like that. Now, humility is perhaps seen as more of a positive. The humble person is someone who has achieved a great deal in life and has many gifts, maybe is very intelligent, maybe has won many medals or gained many qualifications, or helped many people, or risen to a high level in their work. But when you meet them, you would never know, because they're really down to earth. They've got this tremendous confidence within them and strength within them, but they don't use it to put you down. Instead, they come just as an equal to you, or maybe even just a little bit below you, and they seek to do you good. A humble person is a strong person who doesn't use their strength to put others down. And the same ideas with gentle. The gentle person may be a person with great strength, but they don't want to use that strength to intimidate other people, to make other people feel inferior. They use their strength in a gentle manner. So, think of it like this. Who is the meek person in this picture? Is it the baby or is it the man? Well, in Jesus' understanding of what he means here, this word is used often, as we'll see in a minute, throughout the New Testament. The humble person in this picture is the man. Because the man is strong. The man could crush the baby's bones, but the man is gentle. The man is humble with his strength. man is meek. The man wants to use his strength to care for and benefit the baby. And new parents, when your children have been young, you know that you could beat them down in anything. You could beat them at the board games you played with them. You could beat them in an arm wrestle that you had with them. You could beat them at football. You know, you could beat them, but you didn't beat them. You didn't crush them. Could have done, but you didn't. Because you were meek. Because you were gentle. Because you were humble. Because you wanted to use your strength. You wanted to use the fact that you were wiser and stronger and better and had more experience, more knowledge and so on for the benefit of your children. You wanted to build them up. You wanted to make them feel more capable, and you wanted to impart to them good things, things that would benefit them in life. And so you didn't use the fact that you were stronger to beat them down for whatever reason, maybe to make yourself feel better or something. You're like the man in the picture there. You're meek because you care for the people around you and you want their best. Now I'm going to go through several verses now from the New Testament to try and really get this understanding of meek into our minds. Hope it's there already, but maybe this will help. So here's the first one. Paul, he says about the Corinthians and the sin that is in the Corinthian church. He's going to come to visit them as an apostle. What do you want? He says, well, I come with a rod of discipline. Or shall I come in love and with a gentle, there's the word, gentle, meek, humble, with a gentle spirit. See, Paul says, I am strong, I'm an apostle. I have authority. I know more than you. And God's power is with me more than it is with you. But I'm not going to use that to crush you. I'm not going to use that to beat you into submission, to make you behave yourselves as Christians. That's not the way it should be. Instead, I want you to want to do the right thing. I want to encourage you to be the right kind of people, to follow Jesus. Again, he says to Galatians, and this is advice to the leaders in the church, if someone in the church is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently, meekly, humbly. The idea is, you know, you're people in the Spirit. You're wiser, you're more mature, you have more spiritual power and authority than the person who sinned. You could put them down, you could make them feel guilty, you put them on a big guilt trip, you could put them in the corner of the church and shame them. But you don't do that. Because you want them to love church. You want them to love being led. You want them to love the kindness and the grace of the leaders who lead them to Jesus. So you use your strength meekly. Here's a verse we're looking at in the prayer meeting the other night. Always be prepared, as Christians, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone that asks you, to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness. There's a word again, gentleness, meekness, humility, and respect. So, I mean, if you're a Christian and you meet someone who's not a Christian, and someone who's not a Christian says, why are you always so positive? You know, why do you not let things get you down? Why, even when things do get you down, do you still have hope? And then you tell them about Jesus. But do it gently. Don't do it in a superior way. Because you've got a hope and they haven't. Don't crush them. Don't put them down. And if they start challenging you and saying, but you know, how can there be a God? Or how can Jesus have raised from the dead? You're a Christian and you've thought about all these things and you have answers. You could win the argument, but you're not there to win the argument. Christians, we're not there to win the argument. We're there to win people. And so, because we want to win people, we're meek, we're gentle. We use the strength of our relationship with God and of the knowledge we have in a way that wants to nurture, like that man wants to nurture that baby. We want to nurture people out of their ignorance, their sin, their unbelief, into hope, forgiveness, peace, light, joy from Jesus. Now, Jesus uses this word of himself. Now, I don't think anyone reading the Gospels would ever think that Jesus was in any way meek. Was in any way weak. Right? You can erase that little bit from the the recording. Jesus was not weak. If you think about the strength that he shows right from the very beginning of a record of him, even when he's 12 years old, he's not a weak 12 year old sitting there with the teachers of the law with that complete confidence of who he is, the Son of God in his Father's house. He has strength, but he is meek. Doesn't use his strength to crush. I am gentle, meek, humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Jesus has the strength, and he really has great strength that we never get to see. I mean, I think sometimes we imagine that, wow, he calmed a storm. Yeah. He calmed a storm. Have we any idea of how small a task that is to the power of God, who created the universe? The power that he has. But he wants to use it gently to nurture people. He is meek. Comes riding in on the triumphal entry the week before he's crucified. And prophecy of Zechariah is spoken over him. See, your king comes to you. Gentle, meek, humble. Same word again. And riding on a donkey. On a colt, the foal of a donkey. Do you know who this is? This is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The King of the universe. He could, by the sheer force of his power, make the whole world just bow and grovel before him. But he doesn't want people to resent him. He doesn't want people to hate him inside and to unwillingly yield because they're forced to. He's not a dictator. We've got plenty of them in the world. But Jesus is meek. And there he is riding, not even a horse, just on a donkey, into Jerusalem. You will see the strength that he has, but it doesn't look like he's got any strength there, because he wants to be an accessible king. He wants to be a king people can come to, a king people love, a king people want to follow, because they take delight in who he is. So that's the picture that we have in the New Testament of what meekness means. And so we mustn't be surprised if we are called to be meek. And there are several verses like this one here. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. The word gentle there is the word that we're looking at. It's the word for meek that's used in the Beatitude. We're supposed to be this. People who know that we are strong in Christ, but we don't use that strength in order to in any way make anyone else feel less. We use it gently, meekly, to nurture and encourage them, to be patient with them, to bear with them in love. When Jesus comes to dwell in us, when we first believe in him, he comes by his Spirit, and the Spirit wants to begin to work in us the character of Jesus. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. There's the word again, gentleness and self-control. So, becoming more Christ-like means becoming more meek, more gentle, more aware of your strength, and more keen to use that strength gently to nurture and help others. So my self-image as a Christian should run something like this. I'm a Christian. I have power. I have authority. I have strength. Those who are doing the men's Bible study just now, we're looking at this theme of authority. And it's absolutely staggering to see what we have in Christ that most of us hardly even beginning to even recognize or understand. The authority that we have in Christ, the position, the privilege. We are heirs, as we said to the children, heirs of the earth. Don't you know who I am? We can say to people. Do you know who my Father is? But we don't flaunt it. We don't put others down. We're gentle with them, like the father holding the baby, the strong arm that could crush, but nurtures instead. I want, as a Christian, to be very aware of my strength in Christ, very aware of my privileges, very aware of my position, but I want to use it gently with others to nurture them. So keep that image of the strong arm and the baby in your minds. Now Jesus, in the Beatitude, he hasn't actually invented this one himself. In fact, we'll see, and we've already seen, that the Beatitudes come from things said in the Old Testament. Many of them do anyway. Psalm 37 verse 11, the meek will inherit the land and enjoy peace and prosperity. That's what the psalm says. We just sang it. Now, the psalm, if you read it through, is aimed at people who are downtrodden. They're being crushed by the grabbers, the land grabbers, the oppressors, the wicked who've used their military force and their cunning to put down the poor, to steal from the poor, to gain more for themselves. And the psalm is addressing the wicked and saying, your time is coming. You will perish. And it's addressing the poor and the downtrodden and those who are oppressed and those who have had what they had taken away from them. And it's saying, don't fret. Wait patiently. God is with you. Trust him. He is your strength. And remember that those that are oppressing you, they'll perish. But you, the meek, the gentle, the humble, you must be that. Don't turn on those that are oppressing you and take things into your own hands and treat them the way they're treating you. Don't do that. But wait on God. Be of strong character. Know that God is your strength. Wait on him. And when he acts against the wicked, you will find yourselves in sole possession of the land. And it was the land of Canaan that was in view in the psalm. The next question then is, what do the meek inherit in this beatitude? In Psalm 37, it is the land of Israel, the land of Canaan. But in the Beatitude, it is the inhabited earth. It is, if you have that picture we had for the children, it is that beautiful blue-green planet with its wispy clouds that we see these days so often in pictures from space. That is what we inherit. Indeed, it is the whole of creation. And today, as in Old Testament times, Psalm 37, as in Jesus' time, when he spoke the Beatitude, today too, there are the wicked. There are those who try to use their strength to grab what they can for themselves as though they were going to keep it, which they are not, because if they don't lose it before they die, they will certainly lose it when they do die. And we must not be like those grabbers. We must be meek. We must be humble. We must know that our strength is in Christ. And we must know that we are not to try and use the same tactics against the grabbers as they are using against us and against the world. So, like Jesus said to John and James, he rebuked them when they wanted to call down fire on a village that wouldn't receive Jesus. We're not like that as Christians. We don't go about calling fire down from God upon the wicked who have used oppression, who have used cheating, who have used their power, have used their friends, have used their influence, have used their legal prowess or whatever to gain more and more for themselves, tax loopholes, etc., etc. They have filled up their coffers, they have gathered to themselves, and they've got a very disproportionate amount of the world's goods, sitting doing nothing for themselves, while others are in great need. And others are in great need because of those grabbers, because we know there is plenty to go around in this world if it is shared equitably. But those who are in need, we must put our trust in Christ. We must be like Jesus. We must be meek and humble and gentle. And we must wait for the time God appoints to deal with the grabbers, to deal with the wicked, because they won't inherit anything. They will be cast into outer darkness. That's what Jesus says on several occasions. God has come, and God has made a promise. And the promise says, blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. God's got a promise to keep, and he will keep the promise. And the meek, the gentle, the humble, they win. They're the heirs. The earth is willed by God to them and not to the wicked. It's coming because Jesus is coming. But as Psalm 50 says, our God will surely come, is coming. So, here's what we're going to look at, just a couple of verses of Peter before we finish. Here's one of them. In keeping with God's promise, the Beatitude, blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. We are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth, the home of righteousness, Peter says. The whole renewed creation will belong to the meek forever. And this is a great hope. It's a great hope for the oppressed church in the world. It's a great hope for those who are being put down, who are being exploited in this world, but whose trust is in the living God to rescue them, because they will inherit the earth. When the dust is settled after the day of judgment, the grabbers will find themselves with nothing. Truly, truly nothing. And the meek will find themselves with the earth. That's the promise that Christ is making to us here. So what do we inherit? Very simply, the earth, the renewed creation. And finally, who do we inherit it from? Well, I'll let this passage say it all. We read it together a wee while ago. Now, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth and a living hope through the resurrection. of Jesus Christ from the dead. So when Peter says, you know, when Jesus died on the cross, we thought we had nothing. But when he rose from the dead, we realized we had everything. He really was the Son of God, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. And the inheritance really belongs to him. And he is sharing it with us, as Peter. So we have been given new birth into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. So the Father has an inheritance, and it belongs to his Son Jesus, and in him to all who are meek and humble and wait on him and trust in him. The day is coming when those who have put their hope in Christ, because he is the risen Lord, will inherit the earth. They will, in their resurrection bodies, walk out on this earth, this world that we're on just now, but it will be renewed. Righteousness will dwell in it. That's what Peter says, the home of righteousness. Righteousness will dwell in it. And we will walk out in this world where all is good and all is right. And every square inch in which we place our feet will be ours. Every tree and every flower, every butterfly and every animal, the sea, the mountains, the sky, the sun, the moon and the stars, it'll all be ours. That is what Christ is promising in this beatitude. And we will be glad that we waited. We will be glad we were meek. We will be glad that we did not use the strength that we have in Christ to condemn the world, to fight in a way that made us a mirror of those who oppressed us. In other words, to oppress those who had oppressed us. We will be glad that we acted in faith as we receive the inheritance forever from the Father. And everything that was ever grabbed from us, everything that was ever grabbed from the world by the greedy and the wicked, will be ours. We were strong in Christ. Because we were strong, we waited our turn. And now our turn has come. And our inheritance lasts forever. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's pray for a second together. Lord, we thank you for this vision, and we also thank you, Lord, that it is 2,000 years closer to being fulfilled than it was when Jesus spoke these words. And we thank you, Lord, that that does mean that it may be today, it may be just around the corner. And we thank you, Lord, that that is the case when we see how exploited the world is becoming. We praise you, Lord, that all that has been grabbed will be relinquished and will be given by you as our inheritance in Christ. So help us, Lord, to wait patiently and not fret. Help us to be meek for Jesus' sake. Amen.